Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again.
When you get on the internet, every once in a while, if you get on a certain site, it'll have advertisements that pop up. I don't know. It must be because of the kind of things I search for. Some advertiser thought I needed a coffee mug like this. Can you read it? I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. You know, I remember so much my dad saying, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. You know, if you take that phrase, that sentence, lift it out of context, you can make it say anything you want it to say. I grew up among a people that had built a whole theology by basically ripping Scripture out of context. I mean, it is so important that we know the Word of God, that we read the Word of God in context, that we understand what the real truth of God is, not just ripping this sentence out and taking it out of context and finding a theology. Why is that? Well, if you picked up the thing in the back, you saw the little outline. What I'm titling today is James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. See, here's the deal. God calls you, God calls me as his people to obey the word. That means we need to understand it, and then we need to step up and actually do it, obey it. That's what God wants. And yet we all know there's this major propensity to ignore God's word. I mean, I'm not just talking about the people that are sitting at home today trying to catch up on their hour of sleep. I'm talking about us. None of us, in reality, want to know all of God's Word. Because there's parts of God's Word that are just a little too radical, a little too challenging, a little too whatever. And it's like we'd rather ignore that. We know it says this about our money, but it's kind of nice to just stay a little agnostic about that part. You know, as if ignorance is bliss with God. Well, it's not, is it? We know what the Bible has to say, or we could know what the Bible has to say about morality, about our thought life, about the things we go look at the internet about. But it's kind of nice to just stay a little fuzzy, because those things are just, they just cut a little bit too close to home. I mean, I think all of us, particularly people that come regularly, we know the Bible has some radical things to say to us. They're not all that radical. It's just that in light of our culture, they are radical. And in a way, it's easier to just be fuzzy, as if that gives us an excuse to not be a doer of the word. We like to hear, but then we quickly say, yeah, but you know, there's five different ways you can understand that thing. Well, sometimes, but really, generally speaking, almost everything is something that if you just read it, like a fourth grader, a fifth grader, you know exactly what God's calling you to do. It's just that as a 44-year-old, as a 54-year-old, as a 64-year-old, you don't want to do it. You haven't done it. You're doing fine now. Why should you start doing it? And this raises an interesting question, and that is, why is it that that went blank? Okay, why is it that we don't want to see the truth of God's Word? You say, well, I do want to see the truth of God's Word. Yeah, you do when you're doing okay. I mean, I don't know anyone that doesn't mind getting an A on a test. But why is it that you don't want to see it when the truth of God's word is going to reveal that you're getting a C- or a D+, or maybe a big ol' F? What is it inside of me? What is it inside of you that keeps us from really seeing God's word? Or just to put it like I put it at the bottom there, why would we discount God's word? Well, this passage that we're going to look at in Ezekiel, it tells us perhaps the primary reason why we tend to discount God's word. Why we, the people of God, discount God's word. Why we, the people of God, don't take God's word seriously. Why we would much rather stay fuzzy than to find out the P's and Q's about how God wants us to handle our morality or our money or our marriage or our parenting or our employment. We'd rather stay fuzzy and kind of naive rather than knowing exactly what God wants. What is it inside of us? Well, this passage is going to tell us. But you know what this passage is actually going to primarily tell us? It's going to tell us how God responds when we discount His word. Okay, it's important for us to know why we do it. That's going to be real clear. But it's actually even more important to know what God thinks of it. When there's a real clear mandate from Scripture for me to do this, and I don't do it, what does God do? Is God just kind of that, you know, paralyzed leader whose hands are tied and he just sits by? Richard's blowing me off again. Nothing I can do. What can I do about it? You know, he's got free will. He's volunteer. He's got whatever. Is God just up there sitting and saying, shoot, I wish my people would follow me. I wish my people would obey me. But what am I supposed to do? Good grief, I sent my son to die for him. I mean, he showed him the way. Wish they'd get serious about me. Is God just sitting up there looking at you, looking at me in our disobedience, to be honest, our ignorant bliss? Is he just sitting up there saying, oh, no big deal. Wish I could do something about it, but I can't do anything about it. You're going to see, God actually does a lot. So, you got Ezekiel 14 open. Let me just kind of catch you up. We're going to get into the passage, then we're going to go to the New Testament a little bit, and then we'll wrap it up, okay? Here's what happened. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 14. It says, then some elders of Israel came to me, and they sat down before me. Now, remember, elders are elders. They're old guys. Ezekiel, as we've learned, he's a young guy. I mean, he's probably 31, 32, 33 years old. He was a guy that, at the beginning of this book, was supposed to be starting his priestly ministry, which he started at the age of 30. He would hardly be considered an elder. Okay, so these are guys that are 20, 25, maybe even 30 years older than him, but they happened to come to him. Now, why in the world did they come to him? Probably it's because they heard the sermon that was in chapter 13. If you want to go back and look at it on the internet, 2 weeks ago we considered chapter 13. And basically he called out all these false prophets who were telling the people lies. And he just really called a spade a spade. And so these elders maybe had some questions. Boy, you're a pretty sharp, spiffy guy, you know, 33 years old and talk eloquently and do weird things. You know, we want some more input. But in reality, they're not there because they really were curious. They probably were just there because the people expected them to go to him. I mean, you got to at least listen to your enemies. You got to at least listen to your critics. You got to at least listen to the other side of the aisle. So we're going to give him some space, give him some time to tell us what he thinks, and then we're just going to go do what we want. That's probably why these elders were here. Why do I say that? Well, look at the next couple verses. The elders come to him, they sit down before him, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, listen to this, this is so good. Son of man, remember that's God's label that he puts on Ezekiel, reminding Ezekiel that, hey, you're just a son of man. I'm God. Son of man, these men, and by the way, these are the elders, the spiritual leaders. These men have set up their idols in their heart and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of iniquity. You know what? These guys might be on the church board, but these guys are acting like pagans. These guys have idols in their heart. These guys do not see me as the end all. These guys are just giving lip service. These guys are into idolatry. I mean, this is answering that first question. Why don't we want to know what God really thinks? Those times that I just kind of want to stay a little agnostic about what God's truth really is. You know what God says? It's because of the idolatry in my heart. It's because of the idolatry in your heart. I'm valuing something more than God. I'm valuing my reputation. I'm valuing my self-esteem. I'm valuing my self-image. I'm valuing my checkbook. I'm valuing my lifestyle more than valuing the God of the universe. That's more important to me. My entertainment, my pleasure, my whatever is more important to me than making sure I am doing exactly what the God of the universe wants me to do. That's an idol. No, it's not a little statue. It's not an image like we traditionally think of idols. But no, there's something inside of me that says, I'm going to make sure I obey that thing 100% and I'll obey God as much as I possibly can until he violates that idol or competes with that idol. That's what was going on with these guys that came to Ezekiel. And God, before Ezekiel even started the meeting, before Ezekiel even answered their questions, God spoke to Ezekiel and said, you know what? These 7 or 8 guys here in front of you, they got idols in their heart. And look at God's question to Ezekiel, the very end of verse 3. Should I be consulted by them at all? In other words, God is saying, should I even give them the time of day? I mean, honestly, seriously. I mean, I think it tells us a little bit about what was going on in these elders' hearts. They weren't there hungering and thirsting after the Word of God. They were basically there just to cover their tails. The people want to know what Ezekiel thinks. The people want to know that the spiritual leaders have listened to this young, sharp, bold prophet. Yeah, we met with him. Yeah, he's a little radical, and you know, but we've got our hand on the wheel, and we're guiding the ship okay. It's almost like they're just giving him the time of day to pacify the people or pacify their own curiosity. Or maybe they had the idea of, well, this is what I think. I wonder what he thinks, God thinks, and then I'll consider my options. But they didn't come wanting, waiting, willing to trust and obey. And look what God says. Should I even talk to these people? Now think about it. When I come to the Word of God, when you come to the Word of God, and I'm coming with that kind of an attitude, maybe what God says is, should I even talk to Richard today? Should I even talk to Stephen today? Should I even talk to Betty today? I mean, Why do I waste my time talking to one of my kids that isn't going to listen? Now, I know, and I'll bet if you're honest, you know, there's times I open up the Word of God like that. You know, I've got a reading plan. I want to get through the Bible in a year. I got to get 3 chapters down today. And I'm just plowing through the material. It's Sunday, got to come to church, got to hear, got to listen, got to tolerate the 35-minute sermon. Wish it was only 35 minutes, but he always goes about 44. Just a little insights information there for you. And God is saying, should I even talk to him today? Should I even clear the air so that he could see the truth clearly? That's powerful. And again, he's not talking to the pagans. He's talking to his people. He's talking to us. Okay? He's not talking to the people at home trying to catch up on their sleep. He's talking to us who cared enough to get out of bed and get here even on a Sunday like this. And God is saying, when they come and they really don't want to know what I have to say, should I even talk to them? Should I even give them the time of day? Well, look at the next verse. Verse 4. Therefore. So here's kind of the conclusions, okay? And you know what we're going to see? God has a word for those who have been impacted by this thinking. And then, in a little bit, we're going to look at those who are impacting, those who are promoting it. So we're actually going to go back and hear a little bit more about those false teachers that we looked at a couple weeks ago that chapter 13 is about. Look what God says. Therefore, now this is a little difficult to track with, okay? But I know you guys don't want to be here till 1 o'clock, so you're just going to have to trust me and then you go back and make sure that I'm right. Because remember last week, a couple weeks ago, we talked about how you guys got to fact check me. Fact check me on this and then you'll find out that I'm telling the truth, okay? Therefore, speak to them. This is God talking to Ezekiel. And by the way, notice he doesn't even answer the elders. Whatever question it was they answered, God didn't tell him. God isn't going to bother to answer that question. He's just got some information for them. Therefore, speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, just like you guys are doing, puts right before his face the stumbling block of iniquity. I mean, there's no way in the world with an idol in your heart you're going to be able to live a holy life. You are going to stumble. You're going to fall into sin regularly. You're going to sin with your money. You're going to sin with your morality. You're going to sin in your relationship. You are going to stumble. Anyone that's got an idol in his heart has really set up this stumbling block of iniquity and then comes to the false prophet. Okay? Now, I know it doesn't have the word false in there, but that's what he's referring to. You go to the false prophet, not to a true prophet like Ezekiel. You go to the false prophet. I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols. In other words, he goes to the prophet. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I, the Lord, am going to enable that false prophet to just give him an answer that even multiplies his idols, in order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are estranged from me through all their idols. Did you catch that? Again, I'm not going to dwell on it. You just got to trust me on it and then go fact check me a little bit later. But you know what he's saying? When someone like this, an idolater with that idol in his heart that leads him into all kinds of sin, when he goes to the false prophet again, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help that false prophet tell him even more garbage so that he can really mess up his life. Now, are you catching that, what he's saying there? He is saying that when I don't want to know what God has to say, because I've got an idol in my heart, God says, you know what? I'll make it easy on you. I'll put false teachers, false prophets, all kinds of garbage, and you'll just eat it all up. And you think your life is messed up now? It'll really be messed up. That's amazing, isn't it? He is saying here, when I go to the Word of God, but I really don't want to know what the Word of God says. I just want to get through it. I'm just doing it. When I come to church, and I really don't want to sit and engage for the 35 or 44 minutes that Richard's going to talk or David's going to talk or somebody else is going to talk. I just want to get through it. I really don't want to know what God has to say about this or this or this. I just want to get through it. God says, you know what? All those things that are more important in your life, your schedule, your work, your money, your whatever, I'll just give you even more corrupt information. And instead of your life being better because you read the Bible, because you came to church, because you sat through that community group, because you participated in that Bible study, because you listened to that podcast, instead of your life being better because you got some information that now I can really work with and make my life a little bit more Christ-like, God says, you know what? I'm going to do something only I can do. You're going to listen, but not hear. You're going to see, but not be able to perceive. It's just like what Jesus did in the parables, if you want to make the connection there. And your life will actually be worse because you went to that Bible study, because you participated in that community group, because you went to that small group, because you listened to that sermon. Because you came and didn't have your heart and mind open to engage with the Word of God and hear it so that you could trust and obey. Isn't that something? Now I'm going to skip it just for time's sake, but essentially he says the exact same thing in verses 6 down to verse 8. Same thing. He just expands it. He was talking specifically to these elders, but he says all the people are like that, which makes sense because the people usually are like the leaders. The leaders were this way, the people are this way. They all had idols in their heart, and they all wanted to know what God thought, but they really didn't want to know what God thought. We're just a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. We want to know what God thinks. Well, that's a little too radical for us. And God says, you know what? When you come to me with that kind of mentality, hey, I'll make it easy on you. You want garbage? I'll get waste management just to dump it all in your driveway. You can have all the garbage you want. You want junk food? I'll give you all the junk food you want. That's what God says. God is looking at His child, and He is saying, you know what? When you come to me, but you really don't want to come to me, I'm not going to always pursue you. There's passages that talk about God pursuing us. You know, C.S. Lewis referred to the Holy Spirit as the hound dog of heaven, God always tracking us down. That's true. But sometimes what's going on in this passage is true. God says, you don't want to walk with me? Here, let me put you on a slippery slope and you can get to the pig pen even faster. That's what God says to me. That's what God's saying to you. When I come to a place when the Word of God is going to be offered, whether it's in my recliner with my Bible, whether it's walking into this room and listening to the Word of God be taught, whether it's going to someone's living room and having the Bible opened and we're going to discuss it, when I go there, but I really don't want to go there and I really don't want to listen and hear the Word of God, engage, God says, you know what? I'll oblige you. I'll give you all the junk food you want. That's what God said to these people that were being impacted by this thinking. Now, it gets even worse, because who was impacting them? It was that false prophet. Look at verse 9. But if the false prophet is prevailed upon to speak, you know, and I think it kind of assumes here that, you know, after hearing this, if you were a false teacher, if you're a false prophet, boy, you better shut your mouth. Totally. I mean, remember a verse we looked at a few weeks ago, James 3:1? James 3:1 said, let not many of you become teachers, brothers, for you know you're going to incur a greater judgment. I mean, after listening to what Ezekiel said in chapter 13 and after listening to this, the smart teacher of the Word of God is going to be very, very, very careful to make sure that he or she is preaching and teaching the Word of God. And so the smart one would just stay stupid and shut up. Okay? But if that false prophet is prevailed upon to speak a word, and he does it, he takes the bait, she does it, she takes the bait, and they say, well, you came to me, you want some advice, let me tell you. Look what God says. God says, I'm going to enable that guy to speak even more air. But if a false prophet is prevailed upon to speak a word, it is I, the Lord, who have prevailed upon that false prophet. And I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people. And they will bear the punishment of their iniquity as the iniquity of the inquirers is. So the iniquity of the false prophet will be. In order that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me and no longer defile themselves with all their transgressions. Thus they will be my people and I'll be their God. Did you catch what 11 was adding to the discussion? The whole reason God does that with you, with me, with these people, is because He is working to bring us back. You know, it's interesting. We had one of the people that was part of the church at the very, very beginning, godly woman. She's with the Lord now. Died about 15 or 20 years ago. Edna Dawkins. Edna Dawkins, one of the things she said is that a lot of times we pay for our sins by sin. Think about it. I think maybe she got it out of Ezekiel 14. Sometimes when we sin, God says, you want to sin? Here's some more. And that life of sin creates all kinds of misery, despair, complication, chaos. And that's what he's saying there. That's what he kind of said to the people. That's what he's saying to these false teachers. If you're not going to teach the truth, man, I'm going to give you the ability to really teach error. So what do you take away with this? What does this mean for us? Hopefully you've gotten what Ezekiel was saying to these people. What does this mean for us? Here's the reality. The reality is that sometimes, not always, but sometimes, this is one of the tools in God's toolbox. His parenting tools to bring us to maturity. Sometimes God just continues to let us go down that sinful road. And he just kind of takes his hands off the wheel and lets that prodigal son just go headlong to the pig pen. He tried to stop us. But evidently, somewhere along the line, he said, okay, you want to go towards immorality? Let me let you have all the immorality you want. You like looking occasionally at those kind of pictures on your phone? Here, let me show you a whole bunch more websites. And these are free. You like you know, cheating a little bit on your money this way? Here, let me educate you on how you can cheat even bigger. And just go all the way into it. You like treating people like dirt? Well, let me let you. Here, I'll show you how to really treat them like dirt. I made the dirt. You know? I'll just show you the whole thing. Now, I don't have time to turn to it. But you notice up there, I've got in the parentheses, 1 Corinthians 5. If you're taking notes, write this down. 1 Corinthians 5, 5. Paul is dealing there with a church discipline issue. There was a guy in the church that was living in blatant immorality. And people had gone to him, people had confronted him, no avail. Nothing worked. And finally they just started tolerating it and celebrating it, and this guy was in his blatant immorality and nobody cared. He was just a good old guy and everybody liked him. You get to verse 5, you know what Paul said? Let me tell you, and I'm paraphrasing here. This is the Richard Living Bible here. Paul says, you know what? I know all about the situation, and let me tell you what I've done. Now, he's the apostle of God, okay? Paul said, I've turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his soul. Paul said, you know what? I've given up on him. I'm not going to go confront him anymore. I'm not going to even say anything to him. He's going to pay for his sins by his sins. And Paul was encouraging the people to do the same. Here's this person going off into immorality. Here's this person going off into all kinds of sin. And the apostle Paul is saying, you know what? I'm just turning him over to Satan. He is going to pay for his sins by his sins. That's the reality of it. See, I think too many of us, we have this perception of God, that God is just up there, you know, oh, I wish these people would worship me. Oh, I wish these people would recognize I sent my son to die on the cross for them. They're in the cross. They're, you know, all of that. And God is up there saying, wish I could do something about their unfaithfulness. Wish I could do something about the fact that they don't take me seriously. I'm tired of getting blown off. I'm tired of my word being discounted. Wish I could do something. God's not in that position at all. And sometimes, you know what God says? Here, let me show you how to stick it in high gear. You want to race towards sin? Let me help you put it into overdrive. Now, that ought to give us major pause. When I start moving towards sin, I've got a God that, yes, I love those passages that say He comes and He tries to pull me back, woo me back, show me the love of Christ so that I'll repent and get back on track. Yeah, He's got that tool in His box. And I love it when He does it. He's also got another tool in His box. It says, Richard, you want to screw up your life? Here, let me give you a shove. That's what he was doing to these people. That's what he did with the guy in 1 Corinthians 5. Why? Verse 11, chapter 14 of Ezekiel. So that they would come back. And you know what's interesting? The guy in 1 Corinthians 5, he did come back. I think 2 Corinthians 2 talks about him, that he had come back to the fold. It worked. Actually, those sins and the consequences of his sins worked even more than the confrontation of God's people. Worked even more than the confrontation of an apostle Paul. So what's the so what of all this? Right back to where we started. We are to be doers of the word, not just hearers. You don't come to church to chalk it off your list of to-dos. You don't read the Bible just to chalk it off your list of things you want to accomplish that day. Here's the bottom line. When you go to the Word, whether it's in a Bible study, a sermon, private time with the Lord, we should come to the Bible seeking to understand, ready to believe, and absolutely determined to obey. Is that how you read the Word of God? Is that how you approach a sermon? Is that how you approach a community group lesson? Is that how you approach a Sunday school lesson? A Bible study? Those of you that go to Bible study fellowship, when you go there, are you going there saying, I want to understand what God says because I'm ready to believe it and put it into practice? Or is it just about the fellowship? Just about the connection? Hey, I love fellowship. I love connection. But you know what? That is all secondary to the truth of God coming into this sinful life so that this sinful life can become more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. When you get down to that moment, when you're cracking open the Word of God so that you can read it, you need to read it so that you are seeking to understand it, ready to believe whatever it says, and then put it into practice. When you walk in these doors for a worship service, the truths that we sing, the passages of Scripture that we study, you need to come ready to understand. Yeah, you got to fact check. But you come ready to understand, ready to believe, and you leave ready to do it. You dare not put yourself in that position where these people were and just view God's input as one of the options of life. God expects us to take His Word seriously. He wants us to believe it and obey it. And you know, we've all commented on how our culture just even in the last few years has just so deteriorated. Well, the way it's deteriorated is further and further away from biblical truth, biblical values. And if ever there was a time when we, as God's people, needed to implement this truth, it is now. You know what the world needs? The world needs some people like Matthew 5 talks about, who are lights on a shining hill. And we dare not put a bushel over that light. Hide it under a bushel, like we used to sing in Sunday school, if you're 60 years old or older. No. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for the clarity of Your Word today. And I pray, Father, that we all would get it. I ask Your forgiveness for those times we have come to this place, to some other place that was designated to hear the Word of God. Those times even by ourselves when we've opened up the Word of God and we've just not taken it seriously. We've discounted it. I pray, Father, that today we would be serious believers who are fully ready to trust and obey Your Word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.